Well, hello and welcome to Local Matters. We are talking education matters today, and we are talking to Cheryl Montgomery and Kate Nicewitz from the College of Business at Tennessee Tech University. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And I guess I should say welcome back to both of you. You've been on here before, I think.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bell. We're delighted to be here.
Well, it's good to have you both, and we've got a pretty wide-ranging group of topics to talk about, but we certainly want to get sort of an update on the College of Business in general, and Kate, in your case, the graduate programs for sure, and we're going to talk about things like stackable credentials and health informatics, a term that wasn't even around when I went to graduate school, and just a lot of other things.
Sure.
But before we start, why don't each of you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and sort of where you grew up and where you went to school and how you got to this position you're in today. Cheryl, you want to start?
Sure. Well, Dr. Bell, I have been here in the Upper Cumberland now in Cookeville. My goodness, it's close to 15 years, which is hard to believe that it's been that long. You were one of the first people I met when I came to Cookeville.
I think that's right. I remember, not the day you came, but I remember when you came to Cookeville.
Right. Well, I was a telecommuter for Sprint, and I was a telecommuter before telecommuting or working from home was cool. And I had the joy of living here in Cookeville for 2 years before coming to work on campus at Tech when you were still president. But prior to that, I lived and worked in Washington, D.C. for well over a decade, where I worked for the Clinton administration. But I have really enjoyed my time at Tech. I came to Tech to do fundraising. And I worked in the University Advancement and University Development Office, where I did fundraising for the College of Business for, my goodness, about a decade. And most recently, I've been with the College of Business as the Director of Program Development and Engagement. So I've continued my work in fundraising, but have also broadened my portfolio to assist in developing new programs for leadership. We have the Women's Leadership Conference that I work on an annual basis. And I've been working with Kate on a number of projects that we look forward to talking with you today about.
That's going to be fun. And I think your background, if I remember right, you worked with Janet Reno at one point, the Attorney General.
I did. I spent 5 years in Ms. Reno's office working as her Director of Scheduling and Briefing. I got to travel to some interesting places around the world with her and work with her on a daily basis. It was a lot of fun.
Well, that's quite a background, and it certainly is to Tennessee Tech's benefit that you've come home to the Upper Cumberland and come back to be with us. And Kate?
Well, I am thrilled to be working with Cheryl on the projects that she mentioned because, as you mentioned, she does have an outstanding background. She brings so much expertise from a wide variety of areas. But I have been in Cookeville in the Upper Cumberland for about 10 years, but I am originally from upstate New York. So I did my undergraduate work at the University of Rochester in upstate New York. And I came to Cookeville, it's actually about 11 years, almost to the day now. So it was April of 2010 that I came to Cookeville, and I took a position in the athletic department. So I came to work in college athletics, and I did that for about a year. I left briefly to work in the athletic department at the University of New Mexico to do sports information on kind of a larger scale in a bigger conference and get that experience. And I ultimately came back because I had an opportunity to pursue my MBA at Tech. So I came back and started work on my MBA, and shortly after graduating, started to oversee that program and have since started working on my PhD in business administration with a focus in marketing. And I'm doing that through Kennesaw State University.
Right.
So there's definitely a lot to keep me busy, and Cookeville has been very, very good to me.
Well, that's super. And you and I share some common background. We've both been director of the MBA program and director of graduate studies for the college. So that takes me back to a much, much smaller MBA program than what we have today. Well, let's talk generally about the graduate programs in the College of Business. And why don't you tell us what programs are offered And then we'll get into things like stackable credentials and things like that.
Absolutely. So when I first started my position as the director of MBA studies, that was the only program we had. We just had an MBA program that was about 7 years ago. We have since diversified our program offerings to include a Master of Accountancy, so a second master's degree, and several graduate certificates in some very specific, very fast-growing industries. So we have a certificate in healthcare informatics that we offer collaboratively with the College of Interdisciplinary Studies. We have a certificate in cyber management and analytics, and we have a certificate in banking and financial services. We also play a pretty key role in offering the College of Engineering's program and their Master's in Engineering Management. So we have done a lot of collaboration with some other units on campus in order to be able to offer a wide variety of different programs that meet the needs of our students.
Well, it's certainly a much broader range of programs than were there when I was in the College of Business. And they certainly reflect the needs of today's market, don't they?
Absolutely. We have tried to design these programs and tailor them to be conducive to the needs of people working in industries that are rapidly growing in Tennessee and industries that we feel we have a fairly strong presence in. So we have colleagues in the college who are very involved with the banking industry. Dean Payne plays a key role in a lot of the initiatives at different banking schools. We have been members of the Nashville Healthcare Council for several years now. Dean Payne was on the board of directors of the council a few years back. And we've also done quite a bit to make sure that we have a presence in the IT and analytics sector, especially in Nashville. So we feel like we're offering programs where we have a strong presence.
And that IT and analytics sector in Nashville just got stronger this month with the big announcement that Google put out yesterday on making it a regional hub. So that's big news for the whole Middle Tennessee area.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, talk a little bit about career opportunities for graduates in these areas. It's been a tough couple of years. The pandemic has certainly challenged universities in a lot of different ways and challenged businesses too. But how's the job market looking? And I know it's different than it was.
It is different. I think that for these particular industries, the benefit of our programs is that we are filling what we would call a talent gap. So there are definitely gaps between what employers expect and what employees have as far as skill sets are concerned. And our goal with these programs is to close that gap and make sure that our students have the skill sets that they need to work in some of the top growing industries in the state. So healthcare, cyber management, analytics, and banking are all, the markets are great. It's just a matter of making sure that you have the skill sets that you need to be, to distinguish yourself in those markets. We also have tried to design these programs so that when people invest their time in our programs, their investment goes further. So you mentioned, you know, stackable credentials. Mm-hmm. And what we mean by that is that investing in, for instance, our MBA program is also investing your time in course credit that can count toward different programs. So investing in an MBA also allows you to count credit toward a certificate or toward a Master of Accountancy or a Master's of Science in Engineering Management. So you mentioned, you know, how the workforce looks so different nowadays. It is different. Everything is different. And time is a precious commodity to people. So investing their time in a manner that's going to provide returns in multiple ways is something that we have really tried to emphasize.
Well, but it's such a great idea to actually leverage the time that you're in a classroom, and those skills are movable across different majors and different areas. So it makes a lot of sense to do that kind of thing. Now, let's talk a minute about cyber management and analytics. That sounds like a mouthful. It really sounds like a challenging area. What do those students do? What do they do when they get out, or many of them before they ever came for the graduate degree were in this field?
Sure. Well, when we talk about cyber management, we really talk about not necessarily the computer and the coding side of it, but the management of the personnel who are in charge of network security. Knowing those people, knowing their needs, and sort of the business side of keeping data secure. So we're not necessarily teaching the coding side. We have a phenomenal computer science department that can teach the coding, but right. We are teaching the importance of managing data, the risk that goes along with managing data, and the business side of that. So the term cyber management, really the emphasis is on the management. Those students will be learning everything from database management to information about telecommunications. They will be learning some advanced analytics and obviously the cybersecurity side as well, or portions of the cybersecurity side. As far as what they can do afterward, that is one certificate and one area that we feel cuts across a number of industries. So at this day and age, with technology being what it is, keeping data secure is relevant regardless of the industry. So we actually count our cyber management course toward our healthcare certificate, toward our banking certificate, toward our MBA. That is a skill set that's necessary across the board. So when you ask what those students can do, really it's anything to help keep networks secure for any major organization.
It's a pretty portable degree, isn't it? Yeah, and having served on a hospital board, I know how important informatics is and security is in that healthcare environment. Well, we're going to come back after a short break and talk a bit more about the graduate program and also about some of the partnerships with the Small Business Administration. So we will be right back. This is Local Matters. We are talking to Kate Nisewitz and Cheryl Montgomery from the College of Business at Tennessee Tech.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Cheryl Montgomery and Kate Nisewitz from the College of Business at Tennessee Tech University. And Kate, we were talking about some of the graduate programs and graduate certificates in the college. And we talked about healthcare informatics a bit and about cyber management, but we didn't talk much about banking and financial service. And that has become a real strength for the College of Business since Dean Payne joined the faculty. So talk a bit about banking and financial services.
Sure. Well, that is just one of the many things that Dean Payne has brought to the table as our dean. It fits perfectly with sort of the position of our community with having so many community banks. His leadership and his expertise in that department has just opened so many doors for us. As it turns out, banking is also an industry that we're seeing a lot of growth in across the state of Tennessee at this time as well. So to have that expertise and be a resource for that industry is a huge benefit to us. So our banking and financial services certificate is really designed for anybody who is either in banking or looking to move into that sector. It's also designed for people who have participated in some professional banking schools who may want to count that credit toward an academic credential as well. In our banking certificate, there is some cyber management. There's some cyber management coursework. There's a banking and financial services course. There's a course on services marketing and financial statement analysis, and then an analytics course. So again, there's a lot of crossover with that cyber management, those analytics courses, but then some that are more specific to banking. For people who have participated in professional banking schools, such as the ones that Dean Payne teaches at, they can actually count some of that credit toward the certificate in place of the services marketing or the financial statement analysis, because they get all of that in those professional banking schools. So that's an incentive to that for them to obtain an academic credential on top of their professional banking school. And then also, again, as they're investing that time in the academic credential, being able to count that back toward an MBA if that ever becomes something that they're interested in. So we've really, again, tried to meet the needs of our community, the needs of our state, and leverage the expertise that we have in the college.
Sounds like some really good skill sets and a really good service offered by the college. And Cheryl, speaking of service, the CARES Act funding brought some new opportunities for the college. And you've partnered with the U.S. Small Business Administration and others to offer some training for small businesses in the region, too. Tell us about that.
Yes, we're very excited. This summer, through the CARES Act, we've received a grant. And so we're going to be developing training for small businesses and entrepreneurs here in the Upper Cumberland and beyond. The college will be responsible for producing different modules, Kate, right? Marketing is one of the things we're going to be focusing on, as well as understanding balance sheets.
Human resources. All of the facets, really, of running your own business or developing a business. We're developing some training resources that are free of charge for local entrepreneurs. And we're trying to develop those modules in a package that it can possibly be replicated. So this model could be used not just within the state of Tennessee, but perhaps nationwide, provided it's as successful as we anticipate it will be.
That would be great. And it'd be nice to have that that kind of benchmarking out there on with Tennessee Tech's name on it. So that's super. And you mentioned human resources. You can have the best ideas in the world and the best product. If you don't have the right people delivering it, it's still going to blow up. So all of those are important elements in this. So where do you see this going? Who's going to be involved in this kind of training?
Well, we're very excited that we're going to be able to involve our students in this type of training. The students will be involved with our faculty, utilizing the faculty expertise to develop the modules that we will deliver to the Small Business Administration. And those resources will be available through our local SBDC, which is a Small Business Development Center that we have. You may know now, Dr. Bell, that the SBDC is actually located at the Development District. And one of our Tech alums, Tyler Asher, a business alum, is in charge of the Small Business Development Center at the Upper Cumberland Development District. So all of these training modules will be offered through the SBDC.
And that's great. The UCDD is a great central location for that, and it still is a good partnership between the university and the College of Business and the Development District.
Mm-hmm. It is. And in addition to having some students involved in the production of these modules, we'd actually love to have local companies and local leaders step in to talk about their experiences in different sectors of business. So to have some of our local experts in human resources or accounting participate in the development of these modules would be outstanding. So we would encourage anyone who's working here in Cookeville to kind of be on the lookout. We may be reaching out for some of your insight.
And if they've got an idea on how to help, they could send you an email or give the College of Business a call and connect up.
Absolutely.
Certainly. They're welcome to contact Kate or Dean Payne's office would be the place to get in touch with us, Dr. Bell. We would appreciate that.
Well, that would be great. And so there's your invitation, listeners, to get involved in one of these new programs. Now, you mentioned that part of this work or a significant part of it is online. So talk about how it will work in an online environment.
Sure. Well, we are very lucky that we have been experienced in online learning and teaching online for many, many years, well before it was a necessity, as it has been now for the last year. So our faculty members have over 20 years of experience teaching online. But one of the benefits to our programs is that we have designed every single one of them to be able to be done completely online. So students do have the option to come to campus if they want to for certain classes, but all of our specialized certificates, all of our graduate programs are all available online. So we're pretty fluent in online content delivery. We have resources in the college, a top-of-the-line production studio that we resources that we can provide our faculty so that they can deliver that high quality content and stay engaged with students, even though they're not seeing them necessarily face to face.
And I think we've all seen with the pandemic just how effective online education can be. I think it's changed the face of American business in a lot of ways. So I don't think we'll ever go back to taking all those long plane flights that we took a long time ago to just have a meeting.
Yes, there certainly has been a fundamental change in how people interact, how education is delivered, and really how the workforce operates.
And so if someone wants to take advantage of this, how do they contact you or the college to get in line to start this training?
Sure. Well, they can find more information at our website. It's tntech.edu/cobgrad. And all of our programs and certificate offerings fall under that landing page. So if you navigate to that page, you can check out any of our graduate programs, any of our certificate programs, and all of our contact information for myself, for Dean Payne, for Cheryl would be available there.
Well, that's great. And for some of us that may have a little hard time navigating websites, a phone number might be useful too.
372-3600.
3600. My old phone number from college. Well, it sounds like an exciting program, and we'll look forward to hearing more about it. We're going to take a quick break, and then we need to talk about some speakers and some other things that are happening in the college. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking educational matters with Cheryl Montgomery and Kate Nicewitz from the College of Business at Tennessee Tech University. And we've been talking a lot about the graduate school and the various graduate programs, including the option in banking and financial services. And my gosh, Cheryl, there's some big news hitting almost as we speak in terms of some of the folks that these students get to interact with. Talk about the speakers that Dean Payne is bringing in.
Oh, yes. Well, Dean Payne teaches a seminar on banking at the undergraduate and graduate level. We offer a certificate in banking at the graduate level, but also at the undergraduate level. And we have really an amazing speaker coming up next week, Jalene McWilliams is the chairwoman, the first chairwoman of the FDIC, and she will be speaking to Dean Payne's class. So that's a marvelous opportunity for our students. It's very difficult to get her in, and she readily accepted our invitation to speak thanks to one of our alums, Dr. Bell. You may remember Greg Gonzalez, who's now...
Oh, I do, yes.
Yes.
Know Greg well.
Yes, Greg.
Commissioner Gonzalez.
Exactly. Commissioner Gonzalez, who's the Commissioner of Financial Institutions for the state of Tennessee, is one of the regular participants in Dean Payne's class.
And a native of Baxter, Tennessee.
And a history major. We can't claim him as our own in business, but we certainly appreciate him now. He was able to help us secure Chairwoman McWilliams to speak. Just a couple of weeks ago, we also had Julie Stackhouse in, and Julie Stackhouse was a retired member of the Federal Reserve and from the St. Louis branch, and Julie was a fantastic speaker to the banking class that Dean Payne offers. So we're very fortunate with some great speakers. If you take his class, you're going to hear from a national leadership on banking.
So that's pretty neat that students at Tennessee Tech get a chance to interact with folks like this. But that's perfectly appropriate because they're going to be traveling the world. They're going to be going all over the United States to get jobs. And they need to have this kind of exposure, don't they?
They sure do. You know, we offer a lot of opportunities for experiential learning in the College of Business. And classes like this provide that. But we also offer opportunities for internships. In fact, I just spoke with an alum who is now gainfully employed with Nestle in the Washington, D.C. suburbs. She received that job offer after being an intern for Nestle in their human resources department.
That's neat.
Isn't that great? Internships are a very valuable and important piece to your academic experience.
Yeah, they really give you a chance to test drive that company and see if you like the climate and the culture and all the things that are there and if that kind of work is really what you want. And it also gives the company a good chance to take a look at you and see if you fit what they're wanting.
That's true. You know, one of the ways that that takes place at the banking level, I know we've talked an awful lot about banking, but we have a student advisory board in banking, and that is facilitated through some of our local community banks, and they offer students an opportunity to see how a bank actually works. They get to test out those students. They actually hold meetings, just like you would if you were on a bank advisor or bank board, and they make recommendations back to the bank about marketing and things that they would do in order to secure new customers at in the 20-year-old age bracket. So those advisory boards in banking have been an important part of our experiential learning offerings at the undergraduate level.
And I've talked to some of the bank presidents locally about those advisory board experience, and they are quick to point out that those students add a lot of fresh ideas that come from an angle of vision that they had long forgotten about. So it's a two-way street. Both sides win in that activity. Well, it's anytime we can get students out and get a real world experience as part of their education, it's a good thing for them, isn't it?
It sure is. We're looking forward to the opportunity when students can travel again internationally, Dr. Bell.
It's been a big change with the pandemic.
It has, but we hope that will change very soon, and we'll be back offering our international experience trip that the accounting students are able to take advantage of. We offer a class that allows students to travel to London and the other parts of the UK and receive class credit for that travel. It takes them to places in London where we actually have our own graduates. Many of your listeners may know Lee Lefevre. She's now Lee Lefevre Air, and she's Vice President of Human Resources for Enterprise Rental Car based out of the UK. So our students from that accounting trip really enjoy getting to go and meet with her and talk about what it's like to live and work internationally.
And it just gives them a perspective that they cannot get if they stay in the classroom only. I was in Aachen, Germany one time with a young lady who was an intern from the College of Business, and she was from Jamestown. And I asked her how the experience was going, and she smiled and she pulled out her student ID over there, which had a Eurorail pass on the back of it. And she said, "I've been in every major capital in Europe since I've been on this experience in Germany." And she said, "I just can't do that from Cookeville or from Jamestown." So it really does broaden their perspective on the world and on the way business works in the world.
It really does. Earlier today, we had Cassie Perkins, who was speaking to our students through our Albright Distinguished Lecture Series. And Cassie is recently relinquished her crown as Miss America. Miss for America is the new title. But Cassie spent a great deal of time talking to our students about the importance of taking advantage of the travel experiences that we offer. Cassie was actually part of your international trip when the MBA class visited
Australia.
Australia, that's yeah. right, I can't remember.
Yes, Cassie came to Australia with us, and we have been incredibly lucky to have been able to offer that international experience class at the graduate level, and I have enjoyed it, and I am very ready for that class to come back and those opportunities to come back, because as rewarding as it is for the students, it's equally as rewarding for faculty leaders to see them have that those experiences.
That's right.
For me, some of my best memories have been from those international experience trips. That trip to Australia, I actually had a student who was, we traveled to Australia in May, and he was getting married in June or July. And he came home and told his soon-to-be wife that they needed more invitations to send out because of the friends that he had made on this trip. So he needed to send out more invitations for his wedding. And we have been able to take students to places aside from Australia. We've been to India. We have been to Brazil. We have been to South Africa. And we always look for places that really combine business abroad, culture, and tourism. And if you can get those three things, I call that the trifecta. If our students can have a good experience culturally from a business standpoint and from a tourism standpoint, it's a win all the way around. So we're looking forward to being able to get back to that.
I think anytime they can go on those international experiences, it's a win. There's no question. It's a win. And that doesn't mean everything is always perfect when they go. And I've been in Athens when there was a major labor strike going on, and Athens was not a pretty city during that time. But it's part of understanding the world they're going to live in. And again, most of them are going to take jobs that may be in Dallas or Beijing or Seattle, not necessarily somewhere in the Upper Cumberland. So they need that experience.
Yes, it definitely broadens their perspective. And just, you know, you said not things aren't always perfect when you go abroad. And I've traveled abroad with students a couple of times where I've had to use the healthcare system abroad. And even instances like that, just broaden your perspective to how healthcare works in different countries, yeah. how businesses operate in different countries, and they get to see all that. They get to see it on that, you know, that large level, and then they also get the experience of, you know, some of my students when we take these trips, some of them have never been out of Tennessee.
Right.
Some of them have never been on a plane.
Yes.
I think one student who traveled to Australia with us had never been on a plane, and I thought, I really hope they don't mind flying because it was
it's gonna be a long time.
I didn't want to get up there and have them decide that they did not like flying, but it went well. It all went well. But it's wonderful to be able to provide them with those opportunities and to see the transformation in the students when they're there and when they come back.
Yeah, it really is, and it's experiences like flying that are just. Just part of it. Mm-hmm. Gloria and I traveled a lot with the football team while I was president, and we were on the plane, and Coach Brown let us get on first. That was very nice of him. So Gloria's sitting in the aisle seat and watching all these 300-pound giants walk by her, and she's just sort of awestruck. And Coach Brown leaned across the aisle at one point, and he said, "Now, Miss Bell, when this plane gets out on the runway and finishes taxiing and that pilot hits the afterburners, turn around and look at those 300-pound giants. Some of them are going to be wanting their mamas." And oh, I think he was right. That's part of the experience, and that's part of what the experience in the College of Business is all about, too. Well, I want to thank you both for being with us today. I've got a whole list of other things we could talk about. We'll have to have you back and do that. But for now, we'll say thank you for being on Local Matters. We've been talking to Cheryl Montgomery and Kate Nisewitz from the College of Business at Tennessee Tech University. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Bell.
Thank you so much.